Zealous. Welcome to God. Welcome to your experience of God. And I don't know what that is because I'm not you. And in fact, I believe that each and every one of us is here to experience God in our own special and unique way. And that God experiences God through each and every one of us. And that is why it is so important to be who you really are. Because if you're not who you really are, then God cannot experience life through you, through your eyes, through your awarenesses. This morning I woke up and I got an email from a friend, and it was about the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. And I read it, and I'm sure we all remember how it goes. I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation under God, for liberty and justice for all. And I thought about that, and what occurred to me was that I don't pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to God. And of course, if that flag is part of God, then certainly there is allegiance to it. But that also means that everything is a part of God, and so therefore there is an allegiance to all that is as well. But not an allegiance in the way that the Pledge of Allegiance was probably intended, but an allegiance in that truly, if everything is God, and I am God, that I must too be everything. And so I pledge allegiance to myself. Well, an interesting thing happened later in the day, and that is I was in my office, and I have these huge bookshelves, and as I was sitting there, there was a book that just started calling me. Have you ever had that happen, where a book is just saying, you know, look at me, look at me? I couldn't tell what the book was from across the room, and I got up, and I went towards the book, and pulled it off the shelf, and opened to a page, and the book was The Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And it is an amazing book, and I believe that after tonight we will be referring to this book more and more. But what happened on this particular occasion is that as I pulled it off the shelf and opened randomly to a page, the page that I opened to was, "The Law of God is One of Liberty." Well, that certainly got my attention, having just had this experience earlier in the day about liberty and the Pledge of Allegiance. And so tonight, what I'd like to share with you is this concept of creating an allegiance with God, and in so doing, finding liberty, but not liberty like we humans think of liberty, but liberty in the divine sense of the word. How does that sound? Liberty, your liberty. And so to start the show, I'd like to share a little part in this book. And it is on page 488, and again, it's the Law of God. The Law of God is One of Liberty. And this is how it goes. The Law of God is one of liberty and not one of bondage. The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. Freedom and liberty are also everywhere, if we could but see them. Freedom, like truth, is self-existent and self-propelling. The Spirit, truth, and freedom are coexistent with one another. Again, the Spirit, truth, and freedom are coexistent with one another. Whenever we are conscious of God or pure spirit, we are made free. This is proven in mental and spiritual healing. When we are conscious of perfect life, the body is healed. We must become unconscious of the imperfect and conscious of the perfect alone. Since our ideas of perfection are limited to our present understanding, we do not yet manifest perfection. With a greater unfoldment of reality, and that's reality with a big R, through our consciousness, we shall evolve a more perfect body. In the demonstration of abundance, we seek to realize the liberty of the sons of God, the freedom whereby God proves his absoluteness. This is done not by meditation upon limitation, but by contemplating plenty, abundance, success, prosperity, and happiness. It is unscientific to dwell upon lack, for it will create the undesired condition of lack, that is. It is scientific to meditate on plenty, to bring the mind to a point of conceiving an eternal flow of life, truth, and energy through us and through everything that we do, say, or think. So now, I ask you to take a deep breath And let's begin this journey together into one of liberty, into one of freedom, into one of truly forming an allegiance with God. And so if you're in a safe place, please close your eyes and we'll do a short meditation. And again, another deep breath. And I ask that you begin to follow the breath. Notice how the in-breath comes in and how it moves through your body. And where does it go? And how you exhale. And how the exhale moves through your body. And where does it go? And can you bring that inhale into different parts of your body? Can you bring the inhale fully into your heart? And can you allow the exhale to cleanse your heart and remove any shadows that might be there? And the shadows are just false beliefs and illusions and what is not really the truth of all. And can you bring that breath into your solar plexus and allow it to cleanse there? And can you bring that breath all the way down into your abdomen, your first chakra, and allow it to cleanse there as well? Can you allow that breath all the way down to the soles of your feet? Allow it to cleanse everywhere, from the in-breath into the soles of your feet. And can you bring that breath up to the top of your head, the crown of your head, and allow it to cleanse everything? From the tips of your toes to the sole of your head, can you allow it to cleanse everything? Beautiful. Now, what is this sense of liberty for you? What is this sense of freedom? What is this sense? Take the word liberty as you think it in your head, and allow it to drop down into your heart. Take the word liberty from your head and allow it to drop down into your heart. And see what happens. See what changes. And take the word freedom in your head as a thought and allow it to drop down into your heart. And see what happens. And take another breath and ask the question to nothing and no one in particular. What does it mean to have an allegiance with God? And how can having this allegiance with God free me and open me up to this divine liberty, to who I really am? And I ask that you hold that question in your mind, in your heart, for the rest of this evening, the rest of the time that we spend together, and see what comes up for you. What does it mean to me to have an allegiance with God, and how does that free me to myself? Tonight my guest is my beautiful, beautiful friend, Cal Spencer, and I am so excited to have him on the show tonight. And Cal is an intuitive, a healer, and a philosopher, and I've had some of the most divine and amazing conversations with him about God, the divine, and so much more. And so tonight, we get to share one of our conversations live on the air with you. So this is a very special and sacred time for me, and I hope for you as well. So Cal, thank you so much for being on Goddardy tonight.
Thank you.
So you and I, we had dinner just before the show. Wasn't that delicious? It was a good dinner.
Yes.
We went to a little Indian restaurant called Punjab in Sandy, Utah. And the people that own this restaurant are just so beautiful and so lovely. And I love going there because you can feel the love in the food, couldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The waitress was so beautiful.
Yeah, she was so beautiful. Yes. And she even remembered that I didn't like potatoes in my vegetable korma. Wasn't that sweet? I couldn't believe it. I forgot that I didn't want the potatoes, and she remembered. That made me feel so, so loved.
Well, you could feel her love for you.
Yeah. So this conversation tonight about really knowing God and liberty. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about this?
is to truly know God. A lot of us don't know God. We don't take the risks to truly feel God and let Him into our heart. And I think part of that is because we don't trust that there is a God.
Yeah.
We have this vision that, you know, we're told there is a God.
Yes.
But we never take that risk and become vulnerable to let God into our heart.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
Because it's a risk, I think. And there's that risk of the unknown. Is there truly a God?
Mm-hmm.
And until you find that there is God and find where He's located, it's very difficult to share it.
Yeah, because so many of us were not really brought up knowing God. Now, I know a lot of people that listen to the show, they've had experiences of God in long religion, but that's not really knowing God.
No.
Not for most, anyway.
No.
And so it's like, I love what you said about, you know, that it's like finding God where God is. How did you find where God is? How did you find God?
I'd always struggled of that thought, is there really a God? And it was very difficult.
It was difficult?
Yeah.
Why was it difficult?
Well, because you never know He's there.
Yeah, because He's invisible.
Right.
Damn.
It's like, where is God?
Where is God?
Yeah. And so my relation to God happened on a shamanic journey I was taking one night.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt the presence of God.
Mm.
I had this, and it's not really a vision, it was more of a feeling.
A feeling?
But stronger than the feeling, it was the knowing. I knew where I was. And I always use the analogy that 1,000 horses couldn't drag that back out of me, that knowing that this was God.
Mm-hmm.
And I left that experience with such a peace in my heart.
Mm.
And the funny part is when you share that with somebody, they think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think what it is that they don't believe we're of high enough caliber to feel God.
Mm. That we're almost like not worthy?
Right.
Not worthy of feeling God?
Yes.
Yeah.
That we need to be something else.
Yeah.
You need to be the prophet or
a
great religious leader to sit in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was in that journey is that we're all a piece of God. God is, there's a piece of God in every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have the same amount of this piece.
Yeah. So
we're like carbon copies.
We're carbon copies of each other. And, mm-hmm. and it's like a piece of God, like it's like one big puzzle, but it's all, you know, it's like a holograph. So like in a holograph, like everything's contained in the whole, and any part of that holograph is the whole.
Exactly.
And so it's like that too. So it's like we're a piece of God, but we're also 100% of God.
Yeah, there's nothing lost in that copy.
Yeah, there's nothing lost.
There's an exact carbon copy.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, there's no piece missing.
Yeah.
And we all have the same amount. And so we all start with this same thing.
Yes.
But it's what we do with it and what we believe that mm-hmm. makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So not everybody can have a shamanic journey to find God. I mean, if it was up to me, everybody would have a shamanic journey to have God. But, you know, there's a lot of people listening to them that are like, I don't even know what a shamanic journey is. And, you know, I'd like to meet God. And, you know, I would think that, well, that it was somehow intrinsic, like meeting God was somehow intrinsic, like it was already in our DNA to meet God, especially we are God. And so, you know, and the thing, the key that really makes me think this is something that you said, and that is that when you found God, you knew it. Like it wasn't a vision. It wasn't like, oh, I think that's God. You know, oh, that might be God. Is that God? It was this knowing. Oh, that's God.
Yeah, with no doubt.
With no doubt.
Yes.
With no doubt. And I've had that same experience of just knowing God, meeting God, knowing God. And it's so interesting because on a daily, and I'll get back to the question that I threw out in a second, but for me on a daily basis that, you know, I get busy and I forget that I know God, you know, like, oh, you know, I've got kids, I got a business, I write, I, you know, I, there's so much going on and I, you know, get caught up in life and a life that I love, but nonetheless, I forget that I know God and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, there's God.
But that goes along with your philosophy that you share with everyone, and that is to remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you speak of God, it's really not to meet him for the first time, but
right.
it's to remember who he is.
Right. Right. It's the remembering.
Yes, it's, yeah. it's remembering. And so once yes. you remember, you know. You
yes.
know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you could say, I remember. It's now all of a sudden,
right.
I know.
It's kind of like you have, like, if, you know, I've never personally had amnesia, not that I can remember anyway. That was supposed to be funny. And,
that is funny.
And so, I would imagine that if I had amnesia and I didn't remember anything, all of a sudden like I remembered, like, oh, I remember, oh, I, you know, oh, this is who I am, and oh, I have kids, and oh, I live at, then there wouldn't be any question because I remembered, and so it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that kind of remembering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's that remembering, and that knowing, and then once it's there, it doesn't leave.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't, does it?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be like the amnesia analogy. And so I wake up in the morning, oh, I remember who I am. I'm Denise, and I have three kids. And then I go to sleep that night, and then I have, there was a movie like this. What was this, 50 First Dates? You know, that's not pretty normal. You know, what's normal is you wake up, you remember, and then you continue to remember that the forgetting is forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once you know that, it becomes easier to pray to that because you have something to pray to.
Mm-hmm. That's where the allegiance part comes in.
Yes.
Like, you can't have an allegiance to something that you don't know. And mm-hmm. and I think that's with a lot of religions. It's like, have an allegiance to this God, and people go along blindly. And this is not the kind of blind faith that really supports somebody in their awakening. It's a blind faith that really is about the amnesia. But what it really takes is waking up and finding God for yourself and then creating that allegiance with the divine.
And that's what happens when I refer to you're driving your bus now. You know, you're not relying on somebody else's interpretation of what God is.
Right.
You have your own.
Yes.
And mine may be different from yours.
Mm-hmm. And that's a secondhand God.
Yes.
You know, that's a secondhand God. And we're going to play this song at the end of the show for everybody to hear again. It's like theme song. And the secondhand God is that you have to find God for yourself, that I can't take your version of God and you can't take mine.
One of the gifts that I've learned from you was I've always, since I've known you, had God in my heart. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned from you was to connect to that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. My connection with God was always in sacred time.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from you and watching how you interact with people that we can connect with God every second of mm-hmm. our lives and have that conduit of communication,
mm-hmm.
of knowing.
Yeah. Because that's what life is about. You know, life is about that connection, and so it's like when I connect with somebody, I'm just like, really, who are you? And like, what, you know, it's like I see God, but not just like God, like the same face or the same eyes. I see God as this unique expression, and it's always there. I mean, it's always, oh, it's in everyone. It's in everything.
Well, that's what I've learned from you, is that you see God in everyone, and are very comfortable with that.
Mm.
Even people who don't know they have that piece of God in them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there.
Yes.
It just hasn't become visible to them.
Yes.
And it's because I think they haven't allowed it. They haven't right. become vulnerable to let that in.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying just before, that it's a real risk to let God in. And you know, and so what's the risk? You know, I mean, like, from this perspective, like, well, okay, God, what's the risk is God. But you're right, it's a big risk. Well, what's the risk?
Well, it's that risk of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So there's, now all of a sudden, the mystery's gone.
Mm.
And so now you think, well, everything's going
wait,
to change.
Wait, the mystery's gone? Because I still got the mystery.
I mean, I'm referring to the mystery of if there really is a God.
Yes, that mystery, yes, yes,
yeah,
of course.
That debate yes. in our mind.
Yes, a God or no God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So as you sit there in your church
mm-hmm.
and you hear this person speak of God,
yes,
and it doesn't always ring true
right.
in your heart, the way you might know God mm-hmm. or the way you think of God.
Mm-hmm.
And my my realization to God is we all have our own interpretation, our own feeling of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very unique, just like we have our own bodies and our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But mechanically, I think it works the same to make that connection.
Mechanically, what do you mean?
The mechanics of how you connect to it. And what we get lost in is that we think of God in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift I received was to realize that you receive God through your heart.
Right. But really, that the mind, you know, it's like what we have been brought up to believe that the mind's the end all, like everything's in the mind. But really, the mind is a tool for the heart. That it's not that we've got it reversed. That we're like, oh, it's like the mind, and then the heart secondary. Like, oh, let's look at the mind, and then maybe I'll check in with the heart, you know. But it's really the other way around. That life is lived from the heart. This is where the divine connection exists in physical form, and that the mind is really just a tool, and that when we can use the mind as a tool for, you know, functioning in life, then suddenly it loses its power to separate us from the divine.
And it's that knowing.
Because
once it moves to your heart, you just lose that debate.
Yes.
It's just a knowing.
It's a knowing. And it's like you can't get it from anyone. You have to get it for yourself.
That makes me laugh because I'm very aware that I cannot explain to somebody and make this roadmap and say, here is the path to God.
Yes.
It just doesn't work that way.
Yes.
We have to find it our own way.
Mm-hmm. And it's there. And it doesn't have to look any certain way. I mean, there's tons of ways, there's tons of paths to God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever path you choose. And one path might be just the inquiry. And the inquiry is, who am I? Or who's God? And just stay in that question without allowing the mind to answer. So the question, so who am I? I don't know if you know this Cal. So it was a year, it was the beginning, just after New Year's 2009. And that question that I thought so many times in my life, who am I? Well, one night it was very much alive in my mind. And I was lying in bed with this question, who am I? And I was listening to Fields of Gold by Sting. You know that song? I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I was watching these pictures from Blasphemy that a good friend of mine had given me, and they were just kind of going one after the other. And so I started doing a little experiment. And it started off this little mind game, and it was, okay, who am I? And every picture that showed up, I would say, I am that. And then the next picture would show up, and I am that. And it was funny because some of the pictures, I'm like, yeah, I know what it feels like to be that. And some of the pictures would show up, and they were all kinds of pictures, and all beautiful. And some of them I'd be like, oh, I don't know what it's like to be that. Oh, that's what it's like to be that. And so after a few minutes, this game shifted, and I shifted, and suddenly I wasn't just playing a game. Suddenly I really was that. And everything that showed up, oh, I am that, and I started bawling. I'm crying now. I'm crying, and I started to really get it. Like, I am this beautiful field, and I am this planet, and I am this flower, and I am this baby, and I am also Hitler and his army. And I started to just really explore everything that I am. And what came out of that was my I Am book. Have you read that?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's how that book came about, and for 2 or 3 days it took hold of me, and the book is a chronicle of my experience, a journal of my experience over those couple of days, and it changed everything for me. You know, it was my awakening. And by the way, for anybody listening, if you want to read this book, I have a free download on my website at nanice.com, which I'll give information at the end, so you can get this book and experience it. But it was this experience that I had where just the question, just the inquiry opened up all these doors and allowed me to have this deeper experience of God, of myself, and of it being the same, just by asking the question without allowing my mind to answer it.
Without having a definite definition of what that should look like.
Right.
Well, and I see that as this opportunity to understand that, and you come to the realization that everything we are, everything that's on this earth, is a piece of God.
Yes.
Whether it's a rock,
yes,
or the house or a window or mm-hmm. our children, they all have the same piece of God,
yes,
in them.
Yes.
And once you understand that, we treat everything differently.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have much, and it connects more to like the indigenous people.
Yes.
That they know everything is alive. Everything mm-hmm. has this frequency and this vibration, and
mm-hmm.
it should be treated with respect.
Yeah, and everything. And this is a key piece, because people think, oh, well, nature's alive. Yes, of course nature's alive, but so is the plastic that makes up your kitchen counter, and so is, you know, the man-made materials that might have gone to make your car or your house or your jewelry. It's all alive. It's all consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, where is something being made out of? Well, the only thing that anything can be made out of is energy, and all energy is God. So everywhere you look, and having said that, there's different vibrations of consciousness, but it's all alive and conscious.
And this is truly what I see as enlightenment,
is
that knowing that God exists.
Yes.
Because we've had this conversation of seeing people enlightened.
Yes.
But what is that definition? If you were to look at what enlightenment means,
mm-hmm.
that is knowing that God exists.
Oh, I love that definition. I'm going to use that. Enlightenment is knowing that God exists. Wow. That's brilliant.
I mean, that's what enlightening is.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And until you can have that experience,
yeah,
however it comes to you,
yeah,
then you are enlightened.
Yeah. And this is the liberty. This is the liberty and the freedom. So it's like, so once you know that God exists, now you have, you know, someone to pray to. Before you know that God exists, there's no one to pray to. There's no one to talk to, really, in the divine sense, that is.
Well, then it sets you free. That's
yeah.
what, that's the liberty.
The truth will set you free.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the truth being, there truly is a God.
There truly is a God.
Mm-hmm.
There truly is a God.
But it's not this God we have pictured.
Mm-hmm.
It's the God we know.
Mm-hmm.
The God that we know in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Which might be very different than the God that we have pictured.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it may be very different what you have in your heart than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's that same.
The essence.
Yeah, the essence.
Mm-hmm.
That really is the same. Whether you're a Native American or and you come from Mexico or
mm-hmm.
from Europe, you're a Christian, a Mormon, whatever.
Mm.
It is the same.
It is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same. Yeah.
And with enlightenment, then you can understand bliss.
Oh.
Because bliss is the feeling you get from being enlightened and your connection to God.
Mm.
And that is a place that we can live in.
Mm-hmm. Again, what you just said is that the bliss comes from knowing that there is God, and God is in you. Wow.
And that's true bliss.
That is true bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is just that knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need.
Yes.
And once you have that, everything is gone. From there, will be okay.
Mm-hmm. Because before the knowing, there's a sense. Well, I guess a sense of insecurity.
Oh yes.
Yeah. That if you don't know this God, well, of course you're insecure. When my dad was alive, we'd have conversations about God, and he would say, you know, either there's some great God, some divine plan, or it's all a fluke.
Yes. It's a big experiment.
Mm-hmm. And I would consider that, of course, you know, growing up. And I had a lot of controversy as far as religion goes, because my dad, he was brought up very, very Jewish, Orthodox, and my mom was brought up very Catholic, Roman Catholic, and they agreed to bring me up Roman Catholic, but I still had my little Jewish Yiddish grandmother in my life. And I was like, well, how can they both be right? And so here's my dad. And he's like, well, there's either some great God with a divine plan, or it's all a fluke. And so I considered that. And there was some point in my life where before he died, that I knew God, that I came to God and I knew God. And it's funny because, you know, I went to my dad one day and I said, it's not a fluke.
I know.
And he looked at me and he kind of, you know, giggled and smiled and he said, oh, maybe. And I knew that, you know, like my telling him, you know, Dad, guess what, it's not a fluke, like that wasn't going to do anything for him. It might make him, like, consider a little bit more, but he had to find out his own. And when he passed, I remember thinking, oh, now he knows.
Oh, yes.
Now he knows.
He truly knows God now.
Yes. Yes. You know, Cal, we never talked about this, but I have this theory that part of, like, you know, humanity has done this big, big experiment. And the experiment is, you know, let's put these beings, let these humans go on Earth, and we're going to, like, disconnect them from remembering who they really are, and let's see what's going to happen. Let's see if they're going to wake up and remember who they are, if they're going to destroy themselves and their planet. Which, of course, in the big scheme of things, there's no death and we're eternal, so there's no great loss. And it's very much like a virtual game that my children play. So, of course, you know, it seems very real to us here and not to undermine that experience. I do have a theory that we have been part of this experiment. And this brings a smile to my face, because if this is in fact the case, then I am 100% certain that we have won the game. Now, you might look around and say, but there's so much war and destruction. And I say, no, it's clearing. That's why it seems like it's gotten worse, because it's clearing. And in fact, there are so many people on this planet right now who have awoken and remembered, or are remembering who they really are, and they're remembering God. They are remembering God, and if you're listening to the show, you've either remembered God or you're getting close to remembering God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here right now. And so here we are, our planet. This is it, my friends. We are on the brink of awakening as a global society. That we will all, every single being on this planet, will in fact wake up and remember God. And this is the transformation of the planet. And I'm completely sure of it. I know that as well as I know God. It's done. And so in this context, what an amazing gift it is to be living here on this planet at this time, to be one of the few, even though there's billions of us, the few who got the opportunity to bring in a new planet simply by remembering who you really are, and in so doing, remembering God. This is the transformation. This is how we are the change in the world. This is how we do it.
And this is where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
That knowing. It's just like you mentioned the war. That may be just the way for those people,
right,
to find God.
It might be. It might be, because let's face it, you know, very often people find God in trauma.
And yes. In that last moment of life.
In that last moment of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's where you meet God, and that's where it was supposed to happen for you.
Mm-hmm. And I've even heard of stories of men being in wars and just about to kill someone or having killed someone, and suddenly seeing themselves in that man's eyes and getting it. Oh my God, that's me, that's God, and completely changing in that instant.
Oh yeah, for the rest of their life.
For the rest of their lives. And so in this context, we just can't do it wrong. You're going to awake. We're awakening. There's no doubt.
Well, it's just there are no wrong choices in this path.
Right. You can't go wrong.
No.
It's like self-adjusting. It's self-correcting that we are moving towards God.
And every step of the way,
mm-hmm,
it's like narrowing the path like a funnel.
Yes. Yes. And so I don't know if I told you the story, Cal, but last week I was jogging, I was running in the morning, and suddenly there was this little baby bird. No, it wasn't even a baby bird, it was a small bird, like right in the middle of the street. Did I tell you this?
No.
Yeah. It was like, at first I thought it was like a pine cone or something. I almost stepped on it, and then I realized it was a bird. And I was like, whoa. And I stopped and I looked down and it was just sitting there, and I was surprised when I got closer that it didn't, you know, fly away. And so I'm like, well, there must be something wrong. And so I was like, let me see if I can pick it up and, you know, put it on the sidewalk. And it let me touch it, which is very cool. It let me, it was very, very cool. And then I went to, like, literally pick it up and put it on the sidewalk, and it didn't want me to pick it up, even though I could touch it. And it started to, like, run a little bit, but it ran to me in between my legs. Very odd behavior, don't you think so, right? You would think it'd run the other way. And so I tried to pick it up again, and then it started going out into the street, and I'm like, okay, well, let me see. It could obviously run, even though it can't fly. Let me get it across the street then to get, at least get it on the sidewalk so it doesn't get hit with a car. So I started, like, just kind of, like, shooing it, right, and it would go over to the right, and then I would go on the right and just shoo it back, you know,
you're
towards the left.
This bird.
Yeah, I was hurting the bird. And there's these people, and they're, like, working on their lawn and something, and they're just kind of staring at me going, what is that crazy woman doing now?
You know? My niece has lost it again.
Yes, lost it again. And so I'm shooing it one way and the other way, and kind of like what you just described, you know, shooing to the left, shooing to the right to get it to go, you know, in a certain direction. And I'm like doing pretty good. I was actually pretty proud of myself. I had never, you know, shooed a bird or herded a bird, you know, before. So I did really good. I'm sure it's on a YouTube video right now. But anyway, all of a sudden it just took off and flew.
Really?
Yes.
And that's like that enlightenment.
Yes.
Yes.
That was exactly it. It was It was that enlightenment.
That bird was enlightened.
Yeah, the bird was enlightened. The bird got it. The bird remembered who it was.
What its mission was.
What its mission was, and that it could fly.
Mm-hmm. It remembered how to fly.
Right. And so in this context, I believe that this is what God's doing. You know, hurting us a little bit, shooing us to the left, shooing us to the right, getting us to go in the right direction until, oh, we remember who we are. And then we fly, and then we're free. And that's the liberation.
And I think that's where those moments of chaos in our lives happen. They're,
yes.
They're to waken you up.
Yes.
They're meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not on your path.
Yes.
I know in my life, every time I've had chaos, it all comes back to I was not living my path.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't living my heart.
Yes.
And I see chaos as these moments of correction, just like when you were hurting that bird.
Yes.
You were correcting it.
I was.
Mm-hmm. Unbeknown to the bird.
Yes.
And
crazy
like
moment.
Us. Unbeknown
yes.
to us.
Unbeknown to us. Yes.
That these moments are here to learn from.
Yes.
To change us.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that moment of chaos, we will not change.
Right.
Because why would you? If it's all comfy.
Right.
And you're laying in this snug little bed with your heat on.
Right.
Why do you want to change?
Yes. And also, when things are in order, there's less really opportunity for change. If things are ordered, things are much easier to change if they're chaotic. So it's kind of like, you know, all the kids are lined up and, you know, in the school game. Well, they're already in order. It's really hard to put them in a different order. Because
right.
They're like, well, we're already in order, right? If anybody's ever done that, I was a school monitor, I remember that. But if they're not in any order and you're like, hey, line up, now suddenly they get in order. So it's much easier to create order out of chaos than reorder
right.
out of order.
Yes.
Yes. And so, yes, so the chaos, it's a huge opportunity. And I remember, I think it's the Chinese symbol for crisis is opportunity and danger.
Yes.
Yes.
The equal sides.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, the equal sides.
That balance.
Mm-hmm.
And without that balance, you don't have that. You, like you said, you have to have order out of that chaos.
Yes.
But to recognize the order, you have to have the chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, because chaos, it's like it kind of like scrambles our brain in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we don't know. It's like that place of I don't know. And in that place of I don't know, then your transformation can happen.
Yes.
I know is a prison.
You're locked into that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is how it's supposed to be.
Yes.
And then you're locked into that thought.
Yes.
And then you will never change.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't let that God in there. I know this is what he looks like. And so if he was to show up looking any other way,
right.
you wouldn't recognize him.
Right. Right.
And so when you have that chaos, you don't have this thinking or knowing
mm-hmm.
of what it's supposed to look like, and you're
right.
more open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's removing it from your brain.
Yes.
And that helps take away that picture.
Mm-hmm. And so chaos is like a whitewashing of sorts.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. I'm picturing, I was in Greece on the island of Santorini, and I took pictures. This was a man, he was, you know, painter, he's all dressed in white, and he's got his big, big long stick, because these houses are like into, you know, into the volcano, and he's just, you know, he's painting, he's whitewashing them, and I just watched him for a really long time. I thought it was fascinating, because it was like, you know, he was cleansing what was not pure white previous to his whitewashing.
Right.
Yeah.
And creating order.
Yeah, and creating order. Mm-hmm. Creating order. Hmm. So in this sense, God is a whitewasher, he's a painter.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's everything.
He's everything.
He is. Mm-hmm. And that's where, that's the magic.
Mm.
He can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at that same time, so can we.
We can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there's another little section in this book that I want to read, because that's a great segue. And so it's how to demonstrate liberty. So to demonstrate liberty, drop all negative thoughts from the mind. Do not dwell upon adversity, but think plenty into everything, for there is power in the word. Meditate on things you are doing as being already done, complete and perfect. Try to sense the infinite life around you and within you. This life is already fully expressed and complete. This life is your life now, and the life of all that you do, say, or think. Meditate upon this life until your whole being flows into it and becomes one with it. Now you are ready to prove your principle by allowing this life to flow through the thing that you are working on or for. Do not will or try to compel things to happen. Things happen by an immutable law, and you do not need to energize the essence of being. It is already big with power. All you need to do is to realize this fact and let it be done unto you, or unto that for which you are working. Let is a big word and an important one. By taking thought, you do not add one cubit to reality, with a big R that is, but you do allow let reality to manifest in the things you are doing. As the power of your meditation is centered on what you are doing, life flows through that thing, animating it with real power and action, which culminates in the desired result. The Spirit of God is loosed in your work. Where there is spirit, there is liberty. Wow. That's pretty beautiful.
It is. That's an awesome thought.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that we have liberty.
Yes.
In that knowing.
Yeah. Intrinsically.
Yes.
Yes. By connecting with spirit through the knowing.
And also by not trying to direct that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word let.
Let.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the meditate, it's an implication of really, like, where we focus our energies and thoughts.
Well, and that's what the meditation is to remove thought from being. It's kind of like letting your mind rest and then God working on your heart.
I love that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's why meditation works in helping us find God and connect to God.
Mm.
And truly, is not prayer meditation?
Yes, it's one and the same.
Yes.
Absolutely, prayer and meditation. Meditation is just, I think, a lot of people have things against prayer because we think of prayer, you know, having to do with ritual and tradition that maybe doesn't work for us anymore, so we've graduated to this word meditation. But true meditation is prayer, and true prayer is meditation.
Yeah, they're one and the same.
One and the same.
But it's that comfort, the comfort of this word, of what it means. It's just like some people, the word God is hard to use.
Yes.
And that's where I actually admire you for using that word, because anybody else maybe would use divine or spirit or something.
Right.
And you're willing to go out on that limb and let everyone know you believe in God.
Yes.
And you know God.
I know God.
Yes.
Yes.
And you share that love of God.
Mm.
And not many people can share the love that God shares with them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hoard that. They know God, but they want to hoard that love.
Why do you think that is?
I think if they feel they share it, then they would lose it.
Oh, then they really don't have it, I would imagine.
They don't.
Because having it, there's nothing to lose. In fact, it's like I feel that if I don't share it, it's like, well, I'm over full. I'm going to explode. You know, like I need to share it. I'm overfilling.
That's like I had a friend that his body made too much blood. And he had I don't remember the letter, but his blood was very rare, and it was very valuable. And so he had to, on a regular basis, give his blood, or else it made him sick.
Wow.
And I see that as like with you. You have this love of God in you, and you know if you don't share it, you will get sick. But it's no different for you than anyone else.
Right.
Once you share that love that God gives us, then you get more.
It keeps multiplying. It keeps multiplying.
And that's the connect to that, connect to God. And just in flow and let it share. And once you can find that place, it's heaven in itself.
It is heaven. It's the heaven on earth. It's the paradise.
Yes.
Yes.
And nothing else really matters.
Right.
If you find that space. And it's a sacred space.
Yeah.
But it comes with that risk. We see that to do it, you do have to be vulnerable. And not really to our neighbors or our loved ones. We have to be vulnerable to God.
Yes.
And maybe,
yes.
And, you know, let Him see us. Trust that. And He has done a good job. And you know, and He picked the right ones to have on earth at this time. That they are doing their job.
Perfectly.
Yes.
Perfectly. Yes. Yes. That's very beautiful. And even though it may not always seem like God is looking out for us, God is always looking out for us. And this, you know, connects right back into what we were talking about a few minutes ago about the chaos. You know, often in chaos, we feel like, where's God? God deserted me. Well, you know, God is always there. And that's the point. 100% of the time, God is there. And sometimes it's God is working His magic through the chaos. And this is the faith piece, the trust piece, that like whatever's happening in my life, God is there for me. And I know that God is conspiring on my behalf for my awakening to knowing God and knowing bliss in my life. And that's the point.
And He's always there for us.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to do is trust that. You know, that trust that He will be there for us.
Yes.
And it comes back to the prayer.
Yes.
I mean, if the one that I always love that you say to people is show me what that looks like.
Yeah. Show me, God. Show me. Yeah.
Rather than what should I do or
right.
what like the example is, should I stay married or should I go to the store or whatever it say, shall be, or should I get married or have children. Just show me.
Show me.
Yeah.
Show me. Thank you, Kel. This has been an amazing time on Godergy with you. Do you believe that? We've been talking for 15 minutes already. Did that go fast?
Well, when you talk about God, there's not such thing as time.
Yes, exactly. It's timeless.
Yes. You're in this space without time.
Yes, God is a space without time. And so at the end of the show, we do a prayer circle. And is there anybody that you'd like to put into this prayer circle?
Well, one of the people, it's a friend of mine, and you and I have referred to her as the Dolphin Lady.
Okay, the Dolphin Lady.
And she's a lady that got paralyzed in an accident in Hawaii. A wave hit her, and she's been paralyzed.
Let us put her into the prayer circle. And anybody else? They have their names, sir?
My wife, Rebecca.
Okay, great. Okay, the Dolphin Lady and Rebecca. Okay, so I invite you to imagine a beautiful golden circle of light. And if there's anybody that you would like to pray for or to send healing to, please just put them into the light. And you can either say their names to yourself or you can imagine them walking into the light and allow this beautiful golden light to encircle them. And I put Patricia into the light and Audrey into the light, and I put John into the light, and I put Cynthia into the light. And imagine that there is a beautiful golden beam of light coming down from up above, completely engulfing and moving through everyone who we have all put into the light. And of course, I put the world into the light. And just allow the light of God, the love of God, to do its job. All is perfect. All is well. All is whole. It is done. It is done. It is done. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending Goddergy with me tonight. It has been a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you, Cal, for being here with me. I loved the show, and I'm sure you'll be back. And
thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. And to everybody listening, please go to my website and download the I Am book. I'm sure you'll love it. And that's nanice.com. That's nanice.com. And while you're there, there's tons of free articles, free song downloads, our theme song, which we're going to play in just a second. Secondhand God is a free download, as well as when that day has come by the Ascension Tribe. And there's also a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to love. It is truly a vehicle for your awakening. And email me from there and let me know your thoughts and your relationship with God and what you'd like to hear us talk about on Goddergy as well. And while you're there, click on the pledge and take the pledge. It will change your life and help you be the change you want to see in the world. Until next week, you have been listening to Goddergy. I'm Nanice, and I love you. Bye for now.
Just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. To the mountains, I slept in the streets, searched every great mind, but no one did I meet. I searched every house in the eyes of those who knew, but only to realize there weren't even a few. Endlessly I searched through all this facade, but all I ever found was just a secondhand God. I was looking for God in all the wrong ways. I thought I found him once or twice, but he'd never stay. Star-eyed baby of mine, open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a secondhand God is just mirrors and lies. You cry out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Somebody whispered these words in my ear. I've got something to tell you that you want to hear. I thought it Mother Mary, an angel, a guide. I said, show yourself to me, now I continue to hide. He said, the answer you've been seeking is not outside. The way to get to paradise is right inside. no place to hide and no one else you could be. Why couldn't I see? You've always answered my cry. Now who am I? Why did it take me so long to buy? A second-hand God was all I could find until I stopped and turned the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see it could only have been me. I shoot my destiny. Star-eyed baby of mine, you've opened your mind, you've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard, now you believe. It's not hard, now you believe.